Shalom. You're about to hear a message given by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.
Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Lowered to die to the old nature, risen to live according to the new nature. Because of the fall of man, because humanity joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, human beings have been terribly, terribly damaged. Our nature is twisted. Our thinking about the most important truths is confused. Our character is bad. It is not what it should be. Our values, for the most part, are wrong. If we are going to be reconciled to our Creator and live forever with Him in His real and wonderful and eternal kingdom, Jews and Gentiles are in need of a radical transformation that only Yeshua the Messiah can make possible. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Messiah, set your hearts on things above, where Messiah is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, because you died. And your life is now hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You have been raised with Messiah. Christians and Messianic Jews have been raised. To be raised, we first need to go through a lowering experience, a dying experience. Then, after the lowering, dying experience, we can have a rising, new life kind of experience. So, when we understand who Yeshua is, and when we transfer our loyalties to him and his Father, real spiritual things happen to us. We are lowered into a kind of spiritual grave. Our old nature, which is corrupt, dies. After we are lowered and our old nature dies, God raises us from that low place and gives us a new nature, a new godly nature. But we don't only rise just with a new nature, we rise with Messiah. Yeshua literally died, then he literally rose from the dead, then he literally ascended to heaven, where he is right now at this moment. When we rise by receiving a new godly nature, we also rise with Messiah by receiving the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Messiah. So when we rise, when we are born again with a new and godly nature, the Spirit of Messiah lives in us in a whole new way, connecting us to the Messiah. We rise with Messiah. We rise connected to the risen Messiah. We are lowered. We go through a spiritual death experience. Our old nature dies. Therefore, we are to die to the old nature, which is based on self and selfish living and corrupt habits and bad attitudes and shallow values. And we die to a corrupt world with its bad values and worldly standards. And since we have risen, and we have a new nature, and we have the Holy Spirit of the Messiah living us, and since we are profoundly connected to the Messiah, we must live in a way that is consistent with our new nature and our new connection to the Messiah. Does that make sense? So each one of us has a choice. Whether we focus our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, our interests, our energies on things that are consistent with our old nature, or on things that are consistent with our new nature, on things that are connected to a corrupt and temporary and dying world, or on things that are consistent with the Messiah and his eternal world. Paul and Timothy advise us, since you have been raised with Messiah, set your hearts on things above. Make that choice. Set your hearts on things above, where the Messiah is. He's seated right now at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Live in a way that is consistent with your rising and with your new nature and your new life. Live in a way that is consistent with the risen and ascended Messiah and who he is and where he is at right now. Where is Yeshua at right now? In heaven, which is a real place. He's in the place of greatest honor in heaven, at the right hand of God the Father. Where is Messiah right now? He's in a place of authority. He's in a place of holiness. He's even in a place of service. From that place of holiness, honor, authority, service, the Son is directing his community on earth. He's directing its growth. He's directing it to carry on his mission, to bring the good news to a world of fallen human beings, starting with the Jewish people first. Set your mind on things above, where Messiah is. What are some of those things above? Being like Messiah. Developing Messiah-like character, righteousness, holiness, virtuous living. What else are some of those things above? Well, Messiah is doing things right now. And we want to be doing the things that Messiah is doing. He's serving God right now. He is interceding for human beings right now, especially his followers. So we are to be building up Messiah's community like he is. We are to be proclaiming the good news to everyone we can, like he's directing his followers to do. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What are earthly things that we should not be setting our minds on? Pursuing success according to what the world considers success. The pursuit of money, power, position, a life devoted to the acquisition of more and more material things, a life devoted to fun and pleasure, a life that is based on seeking the approval and praise of human beings. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If you're a born-again believer, that is no longer you. For you died, Paul and Timothy write, and your life, your new life, your real life is now hidden with Messiah in God. You are deeply, profoundly connected to the Messiah. And the Messiah is connected to God the Father. So in a real sense, that's where the real you is right now. With Messiah, connected to Messiah in God. Live in a way that is consistent with that reality. Your life is hidden with Messiah in God. And since we are deeply, closely, intimately, profoundly connected to Messiah, where he goes, we go. When Messiah, who is your life, when he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Messiah is your life. The Son of God is the one who actually created you. The Son of God is the one who redeemed you. The Son of God is the one who sustains you. The Son of God is the one who gives you a new nature that is able to live forever. The Son of God is the one who gives you his eternal spirit so that you can live forever with him and his Father. Messiah gives you life. Messiah is the source of your life. Messiah redeems your life. Messiah sustains your life. Messiah is your life. Doesn't he deserve your gratitude and your service? Doesn't he deserve your life? When Messiah, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Messiah will appear here on planet Earth. The Son of God will return to this planet with power, with honor, with great glory. And you will return with him. The risen you, the glorious you, the eternal you. Then there will be plenty of time to enjoy wealth and power and pleasure almost beyond human comprehension. So until then, can't you put off focusing on wealth and power and pleasure now? A little delayed gratification is what is being called for. And if we are mature Messianic Jews and Christians, we can delay our gratification until he appears with glory and we appear with him. Isn't that true? So, do not feed the old nature. Don't nurture it, encourage it, strengthen it. Bring it back to life, resurrect the corrupt desires of your old nature. Fight against them, suppress them, keep them down in the spiritual grave where they belong. So Paul and Timothy write, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, your old nature, your Adamic nature, your corrupt nature. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And here's a list of things that belong to that old nature. Sexual immorality heads the list. Impurity and lust, other variations of impure sexuality. Evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Put to death, kill whatever belongs to your old corrupt nature with its corrupt desires, especially in the area of sexuality. God created us male and female. He created us as sexual beings. But it is His will, His clear desire for human sexuality to only be expressed within the one man, one woman marriage relationship. We must stay within those God-given sexual boundaries. Put to death sexual promiscuity, including sex before marriage between a man and a woman, or sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Unclean, impure actions and thoughts, depraved passions and lusts, pornography. Put them to death. It's part of the old corrupt nature. Just as you must restrain your inappropriate sexual desires, you must restrain your inappropriate material desires. The Lord is our provider. He's promised to provide for our needs, to give us our daily bread. We must not give in to greed. We must limit our desires for more and more material things. We must learn how to be content with what we have, not discontent with what we do not have. Giving in to greed, whether it's greed for unauthorized sexual activity or greed for more material things, is a kind of idolatry. It places something else before God in our love and devotion. And we do not want to be idolaters. And there's a really serious penalty for idolaters. A life characterized by these things, by sexual immorality and greed, offend this holy God, this moral God, and will not be tolerated. Because of these, Paul and Timothy warn us, the wrath of God is coming. And you do not want to experience the anger of the Creator that's going to be unleashed on sinful humanity. So do not live that way. Do not give in to greed. Do not give in to sexual immorality. And there's more. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. And there's more. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. The old nature is alienated from God and from other human beings. It's selfish and self-centered. It's easily angered. Therefore, anger, rage, malice, hatred, ill will towards others comes naturally and easily to us. The old nature is impure and doesn't know the truth and isn't committed to the truth. Therefore, hurting others with our words, lying, slandering, using abusive and filthy language come naturally and easily to us. So, all forms of sexual immorality and greed, anger, hatred, and rage, lying and slandering and filthy talk need to be eliminated. God does not want us to act that way, speak that way, treat others that way. It is inconsistent with our new nature, our new self, the new us, and our new relationship with Messiah. Previously, Paul and Timothy use the analogy of dying and rising to help us understand the spiritual death of our old nature and the birth of our new nature. Now they use another analogy, not dying and rising, but taking off and putting on clothes. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Different analogy. Taking off and putting on clothes. Imagine a really cheap pair of pants and a shirt, if you're a man, or a really cheap dress made of cheap material, not well made, if you're a woman. Imagine using the same pair of clothes day after day, week after week, rarely cleaning them until they're old, worn out, dirty, full of holes, no longer useful. That's the old nature. Now imagine a brand new, beautiful, expensive, well-made dress or a men's suit made from the finest materials. That's the new nature. Who wouldn't want to take off the old, worn-out, filthy rags and put on a beautiful, well-made, clean, new outfit? You feel great when you're wearing a new set of really nice clothes, don't you? Who wouldn't want to remove a lifestyle consistent with the corrupt old nature and put on a lifestyle based on the new godly nature? We are to eliminate corrupt practices and values of our old ruined nature and live in a way that is consistent with our new godly nature, which is in the process of becoming more and more like God. So, no more dirty, sinful thoughts and words and actions. Only clean, godly thoughts, words, and actions that spring from a new nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and a new relationship to the Messiah. This renewal of human nature, this recreation of human nature, is for everyone. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. When it comes to being restored to the image of God, there are no second-class citizens. Here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Messiah is all. And Messiah is in all. The goal of this spiritual renewal into the image of God is the same for everyone, to be like Messiah. The one who makes this spiritual renewal possible for all is the Messiah. The Messiah is living in us all, transforming all of us into his image, no matter our race or economic situation or educational achievements or level of culture and sophistication. This spiritual renewal and transformation is not based on rules and regulations. This renewal of human nature is not based on Jewish holidays. This reestablishment of the image of God in ruined human beings is not a result of Torah observance. No, this is a Messiah-centered, Messiah-empowered way of spiritual transformation. And it really works. And it really pleases God. So, since the old nature is dead, instead of living according to the old nature, characterized by sexual immorality, greed, anger, hatred, lies, slander, filthy language, and since we have a new nature, and since the Spirit of the Messiah is living in us and empowering us, and since the Messiah is transforming each one of us, and since each one of us is chosen by a loving and gracious God and set apart by a loving and gracious God to fulfill wonderful purposes and loved by a gracious God, we are to relate to all of God's people, no matter their race, their culture, their economic status, in a new and godly way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Again, that analogy, putting on clothing. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the shalom, the peace of the Messiah, rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to shalom, called to peace. Clothe yourselves. Same analogy of putting on a beautiful, well-made, clean, new outfit. Clothe yourselves, but with compassion. In other words, be compassionate. Try to understand others' problems. And try to do something to alleviate those problems. Be compassionate. Be kind. Concerned for others, not uncaring. Be gentle, not harsh. Be humble, not arrogant, not self-centered. Look out for others' good, not just your own. Don't insist on always being in first place. Be happy when others succeed. Be humble. Be patient, not impatient, not angry, not short-tempered. Be forgiving. If you have a grievance against someone, and you will have a grievance against someone, forgive him. Someone in Messiah's community will say or do something that will hurt you. It's guaranteed. You are to forgive him as the Lord forgave you. How did the Lord forgive you? Graciously. Quickly, abundantly, completely, and oftentimes repeatedly. Be forgiving. Be loving. Care for others in Messiah's community. Do what's best for them. Help meet their needs. Help them achieve their potential. Love makes all of these other values work and brings unity to all of God's people. Be at peace within yourself and with others in Messiah's community. Messiah is the Prince of Peace. Messiah is at peace. Messiah knows no lack of peace. Messiah right now is enjoying shalom, shalom, perfect peace. And as you get close to the Prince of Peace, and as you stay close to the Prince of Peace, his amazing peace will flow into you. You will enjoy shalom even in the midst of trials. And that peace will flow out of you and bring peace to your relationships with other members of Messiah's community. God wants every member of the body of Messiah to be at peace, and for the whole community to be at peace, not fighting, but to be united, working together in harmony. And be thankful. Our old nature was not inclined to be thankful. Most people are not thankful. Not thankful to other people, not particularly thankful to God. But thankfulness is consistent with our new nature and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and our new relationship to God. So we need to be aware of the importance of expressing gratitude to other human beings, and especially to the three-in-one God who so graciously has done, is doing, and will do so much for us. Be thankful. As those made in the very image of God, and when that image was marred by the fall, as those redeemed from the satanic slave market of sin and death, as the beloved sons and daughters of God, honorable and eternal, we have a much better understanding of how much we have to be thankful for. Don't we? We want to be thankful. Look for opportunities to express appreciation, gratitude, and thanks for little things and for big things, to people and especially to God. Be thankful. And keep your mind focused on the Messiah. That will help you stay close to Messiah, receive power from him, and be able to live according to the new nature. How do we keep our mind focused on Messiah? Paul and Timothy write, let the message of Messiah, let the word of Messiah, but really the message. Let the message of Messiah live among you richly, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The word about the Messiah, the message about Messiah, is to live within us, be alive, be real. We're aware of it. Richly, not sparingly, not scantily, richly, abundantly. That means we are to be focusing our minds, our thoughts on Yeshua, so that he is constantly in our mind and thoughts. Let the message of Messiah live in you richly. How does that happen? Well, Messiah is the focus of the Bible. The Bible is all about Messiah from Genesis through Revelation. So since Messiah is the focus of the Word of God, the message about Messiah, the word about the Messiah, the truth about the Messiah, will live in us in a rich way by reading the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by seeking to apply the Word of God to each situation we face. Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, applying the Word of God, and teaching others the Word of God. Let the message of Messiah live in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Teaching others the Word of God with the focus of your reading and studying and teaching being the Messiah himself. That's the focus. And to stay focused on Messiah, we are to sing Bible-based, Holy Spirit-inspired songs that focus on the Messiah. And if we are in danger of straying from the Messiah, we admonish one another. We correct each other. We warn each other. Uh-oh, you're deviating from the truth of the Messiah. You are wandering away a little bit from the Messiah. You're focusing on something other than the Messiah. Admonishing one another. The result of focusing our minds on the Messiah will be a successful, God-honoring life and will be full of gratitude to God. So many people make the mistake of thinking that it's just their religious life that's to be Messiah-centered. Saturdays from 10:30 to 12:15. Sundays from 11 to 12. No. It's everything we do, everything we say must be Messiah-centered. So the last part of what we're going to consider today, Paul and Timothy write, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our daily life, our work life, our school life, our family life, our moment-by-moment activities, and our talk is to be characterized by the Messiah. Everything we do, everything we say should be consistent with Yeshua. That's what it means to do everything in the name of Yeshua. It's something he would do. It's something he would say. It's something he would approve of. If he wouldn't do it, we shouldn't do it. If he wouldn't say it, we shouldn't say it. If he wouldn't approve of it, we shouldn't be doing it. So it's not just Shabbat. It's the entire week. Before we act, before we speak, we need to ask ourselves, is this something Yeshua would do? Is this something he would say? Is this something he would approve of? What would Yeshua do in this situation? This is the way to live. This is the way to really please God. This is the way of right living, of holy living. This is the way to have a successful life in this world, followed by eternal life in the world to come. It's not based on the ABCs of religion. Rules and regulations, rituals, ceremonies, holidays, various deprivations, other focuses. Doing everything in a way that is consistent with Yeshua has one other benefit. It keeps our relationship with God the Father in good working order and facilitates giving thanks to God the Father, which is so necessary and so appropriate for the creature to be doing on a regular basis. It's my prayer that God would so work in us that each one of us is living in this Messiah-centered, Messiah-focused way, based on putting to death the old nature, rising to the new nature, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being with Messiah in God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a message by Rabbi Loren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com. SHEMA.com